Who do we turn to? The cricket buster. I was going to say the goat buster. No, it's Robert Crash Craddock, the man who knows all about what's going on. He joins us now. Morning, Crash. How are you?
Morning, Sean, Mick, boys. How are you?
Fantastic, mate. We always look forward to reading your columns in the press. They are always entertaining and informative. And you'll have the latest on what's happening today at the Wacker. It looks like Peter Hanscom's in the side.
Yes, it'll be, look, I tell you what, there's suddenly a bit of interest in this series, isn't there? Australia and Pakistan. It was a bit of a slow burn, but 1-1, 3 to play. The Wacker, they're always great games there. It's my favourite ground in Australia by some margin. Life, bounce, action. Really looking forward to this one.
Crash, Nick Quinn here. Is it the best possible thing that could have happened with Pakistan beating Australia in game two?
Look, it really was. I mean, they actually, everyone says they were disgraceful, Nick, in the Test series. But you know what? They nearly stole the win of the century in Brisbane, came within 40 runs of it. In Melbourne, they actually declared their first innings. And at the midpoint of the series, Pakistan had won more sessions than Australia. But then they collapsed and they were gone. But look, they're an enigmatic team. I never quite know what to expect from them. But, they're at their worst at the Wacker generally with the extra bounce that gets up above waist high. They just can't play it.
Is it just that they're so used to playing on the flat wickets, Crash?
Yes, well, Misbah Al-Haq, their test captain, said bounce changes everything. No subcontinental team from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, anywhere has ever won a test series in Australia. And you know, that spans 70 years. And the reason is their bounce is so much lower than ours. And the hardest adjustment you can make in bounce is upwards. You know, it just down, players can do it. It can be tricky. But when you get up about waist high, it just exposes all techniques. It really does.
Yeah, they have been exposed at times, but when they look good, they have looked great. And obviously, with the ODI on tonight, there's no Big Bash, and the Big Bash has just gone through the roof this summer. Crash, what do you think they're going to do with this expanding monster? Because all of a sudden, they've got a bit of a predicament now where it's almost overshadowing the national team.
Yeah, look, it has, but the one days, the 50 overs have rated really well. People aren't going like they used to, Nick, but they're rating well. But, yeah, look, the Big Bash, the ratings are actually down 6%, but free-to-air ratings are down 9%. But they're still like 1.02 million. I mean, it's extraordinary. When Channel 10 signed for the Big Bash, it was on the projection that they would rate 500,000 a night. And wow, there was eyebrows raised at that. But they've doubled that. That's what it's come to. And, so they pay $20 million a year for 5 years, Channel 10. The next deal will be probably $60 million. It'll treble. So it's really bankrolling Australian cricket.
I was about to ask you that, Cash. I'm thinking cash, money everywhere. Will the TV stations be digging up the tins in the backyard to just throw it at the Big Bash to get it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just that it gives... When Channel 10 bought it, they didn't even think they'd make a profit. They just bought it as a loss leader to promote their winter shows. But not only are they making a profit out of it, but it's lifting all their other shows. A mate of mine who's a television ratings analyst, he said, mate, I've been in the job for 30 years. It was the best bargain I've ever seen, in sports. He said, by a mile. He said, sports rights don't come cheap. That one did. And so, it's just, I feel good for Australian cricket because young kids were losing interest in the game. I saw all the surveys where things like dancing and walking were rated by kids in surveys higher than cricket. And it was distressing, but this has got them all back. And personally, it's not my game, but it's not for me. It's for the kids.
Do you think they'll tinker with the schedule next summer to potentially allow the best players we've got to play in the Big Bash and then maybe have a lead up to the ODI series where that's given full prominence?
Yeah, look, I think the fan base flows through too. The Big Bash has changed the way Test cricket's played. I mean, think of that innings by David Warner in Melbourne, where he just went out chasing 400 and snatched away the match back from Pakistan. And to the point where Australia were 200 runs behind them at one point and odds on to win the match. Mm. So I think that the benefits of this big hitting is flowing through the rest of the game.
Craig, it's almost like we've been spoiled with action, haven't we? And people now, once they get given something, they don't want to take it away from them. So when you go for test cricket over 5 days, do a lot of people perceive that as boring now?
Yeah, it can be. Although I find the one that loses me a little bit to 50-over one, test cricket, you're sensing plot twists. And yeah, sure, it's a bit attritional, but it's comfortably distanced from the 2020, whereas I find the middle brother, the 50-over format, has neither got the pure razzle-dazzle, crackle-snapple, or the plot twist.
Yeah.
It's sort of caught in the middle. So that's the game which we all thought was suffering. And it is. But you know what? It's hanging in there. It's television ratings for the 50-over game, and that's what matters more than crowds, are okay.
And, Crash, the Big Bash League has almost become not so much a sport but a show now to go to.
Sorry, I just missed that, Sean.
It's not so much just a sport now. It's almost like going to a show, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. Look, here's a small example, okay? 2 days ago, I wrote a preview for the Brisbane Heat game in Melbourne, and it was on Nick Buchanan, John Buchanan's son, who spent all these Christmases going to Melbourne with his father, John, having Christmas lunch with Shane Warne. Finally, he's going as a player after four injury marred years. He's so happy. Now, I knew, I had a good feeling Nick wasn't actually going to play in the game, that he was there as the 12th or 13th man. But because it's the Big Bash, I don't think it mattered. You wouldn't lead a test match story on a guy that wasn't playing, would you? But because it was sort of entertainment and fun and everything like that, it was just the best story of the day. And I think that's right. It's entertainment, it's showmanship. And that's why I felt the suspension of the Heat captain, Brendan McCullum, the other night, slow over rate, was just silly. You know, it's just not part of the show.
No, that was a strange one as well. And there's been so many stories like that about the colourful players throughout the Big Bash. But switching codes, and I dare say one of the many highlights for cricket purists, has been the emergence of Matt Renshaw over the summer as well. How impressed with him have you been, and how do you think he'll go over in India?
Oh, I think he's very good. Like, you know, people say that, yeah, he's slow at times, but he hit the second most sixes in the entire competition, Sheffield Shield last year, behind Nick Madison. And, you know, it's a great effort. Like, he's a kid who will grow into the role. People say he should be sacked for the Indian series and replaced with Sean Marsh. I disagree, because opening the batting is often the best place to bat in India. You sort of get half an hour of freedom against the seamers, where you can be 25 not out when the spinners come on. That can help Renshaw. He's a good player of spin. He gets a good positive stride in it, and I give him a good chance.
Today, do we just have our life on Australia in this one day?
No, I've got a feeling that Pakistan have got a little bit more cheek left in them this series, so it could go either way, but yeah, I always back Australia at the whacker. I think they can win.
And what about the Big Bash? Who do you see going on to win the grand final? We know it is a bit of an unpredictable format.
I think Brisbane have got a lot of momentum behind them. They'll get a home final. And you know, but the Scorchers, I think, are just a team that, you know, they're always around the finals. They're hard to beat. I like the balance of their team, but it's so even, isn't it? But those two stand out for me.
Now, obviously, what I loved most about the summer when it was raining was watching your Cricket Legends series that was airing in between the rainbreaks, particularly during the tour of Sri Lanka as well. They were also magnificent. Was there a favourite for you that you just sat down and at times you got lost that you were doing this interview because you were almost in awe of the sportsman you were talking to?
Yeah, the favourite one's coming up in a couple of weeks. It was Gary Sobers, you know, who's the game's probably greatest all-rounder. And I just think he's been such an enigmatic character over the years. You know, to sit down with him in a little mock studio we made up in Brisbane, talking about, you know, he played test cricket at 17 to 37. He was the best fieldsman and catcher in the world. He bowled wrist spin, finger spin, face bowling, as well as being the best batsman Ian Chappell ever saw. And I just thought, man, oh, man, he was something special. And you know, playing test cricket at 17, leave me alone. You know, it just an amazing story of a guy who was born with six fingers on both hands and became one of the best players ever.
Unbelievable. Crash, great to catch up with you, mate. We really appreciate it. We love reading your stories in the Courier Mail and Associated Newspapers right around Australia, and we'll talk again soon.
Pleasure. Thanks, Sean and Nick.
Thanks,
Robert Crash Craddock there. Love his stuff in the Courier Mail.